Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is affirming God's covenant of grace with us. It is saying before the Lord and the congregation of His people, I believe in the triune God who created heaven and earth and upholds and governs His creation by the word of His power. I believe in the God who made His covenant of grace with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when man fell into sin, who made His covenant of grace with Abel, their son, and Seth, and the godly line of his descendants. I believe in the God who made His covenant of grace with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob and their descendants. I believe in the God who made His covenant of grace to save sinners, they might praise and glorify Him in this life and through all eternity. I believe God's covenant written in Holy Scripture. There is none righteous, no, not one. They've all gone astray. They've altogether become unprofitable. There's none who does good, no, not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Public profession of faith is saying, I abhor myself because of my sins and because of my sinfulness. That is my sinful nature. And I repent of them daily before the Lord. And I trust in the perfect righteousness and obedience of my Savior, God's Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my prophet, my great high priest, and my King. He is my only hope of righteousness before God. He is the only Lord of my conscience and my life. I love Him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength, and with all of my mind. Every day I will die to sin. I will die to self. I will die to the world. And I will serve my God and my Savior and my King with thankfulness all the days of my life and forever. Public profession of faith is publicly affirming that you will keep the covenant of the Lord your God by living according to His holy word and obeying the Scriptures. Public profession of faith is solemnly and publicly vowing to God and His people that you believe God's covenant of grace and you embrace it. And you will keep it. And you will teach it to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren that they too might love the Lord their God and serve Him with all of their heart, all the days of their life, and for all eternity. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, the Lord sets before us the way of life in Jesus Christ and the way of death without Christ. In this passage, the Lord sets before us the gospel of Christ, which is the only way of life, and He urges and commands us to choose life. Garrett, today you have made public profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have made solemn vows to Almighty God, which you must keep and pay for the rest of your life. You are just beginning your life in this world. In the days and the years ahead, you will make many choices. I charge you before God and this congregation to choose the way of life in every choice you make. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, to obey His voice, to cling to Him, to make Him your only God so that His covenant of grace with you is more important than wife or children or grandchildren or parents or friends or money or career or sports or anything else. Almighty God has heard your vow today. He will curse you and give you death and destroy you if you do not keep your vows to Him and serve Him with all your heart. The only way that you will be able to do that is if the Lord circumcises your heart. Circumcision is God's sign and seal to His covenant people that they are polluted, that they are corrupt. We are all guilty sinners before Almighty God. We are wicked in our hearts. Our minds are corrupted by sin. Our lives are defiled. We need a new heart and a new life. We need to be born again from above by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need God's gift of regeneration. By nature, we hate God. We do not serve the Lord. We serve ourselves, we serve sin, we serve Satan, we serve the flesh, we serve the devil and the world. They are all cruel and bitter masters. Regeneration, or being born again from above, is what the Shorter Catechism calls effectual calling. God sovereignly changes our minds and gives us a new heart and a new will, so that instead of hating God, we love Him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. We love His covenant that He has made with us. We love His Word, the Bible. We love His commandments. We love to please and honor Him. We love to live for His glory. And we seek the advancement of His kingdom rather than the advancement of our own agenda and our own name and our own glory. This is the first and primary thing which Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus was a leader of God's covenant people. Jesus said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." How do you know whether God has circumcised your heart? How do you know whether the Holy Spirit has regenerated you and made you a new creation in Jesus Christ? The only way to tell is by your confession and your life. What do you confess? What do you believe? How do you live your life? If you keep your vows to Almighty God and you obey His Word and you live for His glory and you love Him more than anything else, and He has given you a new heart and saved you from your sins and from death and from eternal destruction in that most terrible place of eternal torment, which the Bible says is hell. After saying in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, that God must circumcise our hearts, Moses says in verse 11 that God's commandment is not unknown. It's not mysterious. It's not far off. It's not in heaven. You do not have to say, "Who among us wants to go up to heaven and bring God's covenant of grace and God's Word and God's will and God's commandment back to us so that we may hear it and do it?" You do not need to say that, because no one needs to go up to heaven to learn what God commands us to do. No one needs to go up to heaven to learn that we are sinners and we need the Spirit of God to regenerate us and circumcise our hearts. No one needs to go up to heaven to learn that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God who saves His people from their sins by His perfect obedience and His sacrifice of Himself on the cross in our place, by which He fully satisfied the wrath of God which we deserve for our sins. You do not need to go up to heaven to find out these precious truths of the gospel. God has revealed them to us in His holy word. God has revealed them to us in the person of His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has revealed them to us in the preaching of the Word of God right here in this church. God has revealed them to us in the Bible, which you have in your hand, perhaps in your room at home. Garrett, from a little child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Moses says in verse 13, God's word is not on the other side of the sea. You do not have to say, who will go over the sea for us and bring God's word back to us so that we may hear it and do it? That is not necessary. Our problem is not that God has not told us. Our problem is not that we did not know. Our problem is not that God has not revealed Himself to us. Our problem is not that we have to do some difficult thing to find out the way of life and the way of salvation in Jesus Christ. We do not have to bring Christ down from heaven to earth. God already did that 2,000 years ago in the baby that was born from Mary in the fullness of time. We do not have to do some heroic feat to bring Christ up from the dead because Satan defeated Him. No, no, no. 1,000 times no. God's word of grace and life and salvation is very near you. It is in your mouth. Garrett, you have professed it with your own mouth today. All of you who have made public profession of your faith in Jesus Christ have professed God's word, God's covenant of grace, God's covenant promise of salvation and life with your own mouth. You have solemnly sworn before Almighty God that His word is true, that it is the only way of salvation. All of you who have not yet made public profession of your faith in Christ also have God's word in your own mouth. You've read it. And you have said God's word of life with your own mouth many times. Moses says in verse 14, God's word is not only in your mouth, it is also in your heart, that you may do it. You know deep down in your heart the word of God. It is as inseparable from you as your heart is. You understand it. You can grasp it. You have heard it set forth so clearly in the catechism. You have studied it. Are you going to do it? Are you going to live for Christ? Are you going to obey God's word? Are you going to live in righteousness before Him? Are you going to submit to every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? Is God your Lord? Your Master? And your King? Has God truly saved you from your sins? If He has, then He will make you love Him with all your being, with every breath that you breathe. He will make you like the Lord in knowledge, in righteousness, and in holiness. You will want to learn more and more and more of His Word. You will want to study it all your life. You will want to be holy. You will want to live your life in holiness and in righteousness as He is holy and as He is righteous. You will want to be like God. We call that being godly or godlike. God has saved you from your sins, He gives you true faith to believe Him, to receive Christ as your righteousness and atonement, to rest in Him for everything, and to do good works, for faith without works is dead. Good works do not save you, but they do show that you have living faith in the living Christ who saves to the uttermost those who come to God through Him. God's word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. God's word of faith that we preach is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may believe and obey it. Moses says in our text in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, "Behold, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." There are two ways, in this life and in eternity. There are only two ways. There's no other way. There's no in-between way. God is the way of life and good. The gospel of Jesus Christ gives eternal life and true, lasting good. God's covenant of grace is the way of life and real blessing. Blessing that can never be taken away. Man's way is the way of spiritual death. It is the way of evil. Man's way is the way of everlasting death. It is the way of sin. It is the way of misery. It is the way of bondage. It is the way of God's curses. It is the way of damnation. It is the way of destruction. What is God's way? God commands you to love Him. God commands you to put Him first in your life. Make Him the dearest thing to you in life. God commands you to walk in His ways. God commands you to live His way, not your way or anyone else's way. God commands you to live the way that He has set before us in Scripture. He commands you to worship Him. He commands you to read His Word. He commands you to pray. He commands you to work. He commands you to be fruitful and multiply. He commands you to have dominion over His creation. He commands you to teach your children the Word and covenant of the Lord. He commands you to confess His name before men. He commands you to keep your vows and your promises and your Word. He commands you to always be ready to testify of His grace and His truth. He commands you to be honest, upright, and holy. He commands you to be pure. He commands you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Every word that God has spoken in the Scriptures is part of His revelation of His way in which we are to walk or live. God commands you to keep all His commandments, His statutes and His judgments. The way of life and the way of God's blessing is the way of cheerful obedience to God's commands in the Bible. The way of God's curses, the way of death, is the way of disobedience to God's commands in the Bible. God does not mean that our obedience will earn us eternal life. God means that He saves us by grace through faith, which He gives, so that instead of living for ourselves, we should now live out of Christ, in Christ, for the Lord who saved us. Instead of living as rebels to God, we should now live as children of God. Instead of sinning, we are God's workmanship, so that we should do good works that glorify Him. You cannot ignore God's word and pay no attention to God's commands and go to heaven. That is the way of death. If you do not hear God's commands and God's Word, if your heart turns away from loving and serving the Lord, if you're drawn after other gods and you worship and serve them, Moses says you will perish. You will die. You will be cursed. Your life will be cut off. You will not enjoy the land that God gives you, nor any of His other blessings. But if you hear and love God, if you obey Him, then you will live. You will multiply. You will have many children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. The Lord will bless you in your life here on earth. He will pour out so many good things upon you that you will not be able to hold them all. Your cup will run over with the goodness of God. The Lord calls heaven and earth as witnesses against us, that He has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. Two ways, His way, man's way. His blessing or His curse. What is the conclusion? Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Choose life. Choose God's way. That is God's command. That is God's conclusion. Choose life. Love Him. Obey Him. Cling to Him in true faith. There's no life without Christ. There's no life without the living God living in you. He is your life. Every other way, no matter how good or how right it seems, is the way of death. God's covenant will not be mocked. All that God has spoken in His covenant is true. He has sworn by Himself, since he could swear by no one greater, to keep every word and every promise and every curse in His covenant. You have no way out. Even if you do not have Christian parents, you have no way out. Because God made you. And His way is the way of life. And every other way is the way of death. It's the way of misery. It's the way of God's judgment and curse. Choose life and live. Apostle Paul wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 14 and 15. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed it out. It's His. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's way will equip you for every good thing in this life and in the life that is to come. Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, those wonderful words of every true believer who chooses life. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Father in heaven, how wonderful and marvelous it is that you have brought your word, even the Lord Jesus Christ, to us. He is in our mouth and in our hearts. The word of faith. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Your word is not far from us. It is near us. Work in us by your Spirit to circumcise our hearts so that we might believe it, so that we might love you, so that we might cling to you. For only by clinging to Christ in true faith can we have life. So that we might obey you and serve you and glorify you and walk in the way that you have set before us by keeping your commandments, your statutes, and your judgments. It is so simple. It is so clear. But we are such rebels. We are so unfaithful. We are so weak. We are so easily tempted. We so easily run after some other shining and glittering thing that we think will give us life and goodness. Father, may each and every one here today be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Enable us by your grace, we pray, to choose life, that we might live with you forever. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.